Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ryan, how are you this morning?
Perfect. Perfect. As always. Yeah, I am. And you?
I am. Oh, wait a minute. I am.
Oh, man. Will that ever wear off? Will that ever rub off of you? You know, that pompous, pious, what do you call that, pulpit speech? Or is it just part of you?
The BS, huh?
Hey, buddy, we're talking about what is Jesus teaching me today, part number 8, getting unstuck from preconceived notions. Yeah, that's the title. And you're offering a rather radical treatment for getting unstuck.
Oh, fasting? Yeah, what was that one?
Fasting? That's kind of radical, dude. I just don't think we can handle that.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you skip over to number 9?
Yeah. Well, what about the people that this message is for?
Oh, well, then if you think it's appropriate, let's move forward.
Oh, you talked me again. You just did the go-around on me, didn't you?
Unless it's old hat or something or other.
Well, you know, it kind of is old hat because we've talked about this before, and both of us are definitely proponents of fasting and what it produces in your life. And I always feel uncomfortable recommending it to people, and I imagine you do too because you don't talk about it too often or be very pushy about it. But I can say that for myself, man, my very first breakthrough in some form of relationship with spirit came from fasting.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't push it on anybody. I throw it out there, but I, you know, it's like I throw a lot of things out, spiritual warfare, unquote. And, you know, I get arguments about that all the time. So, there's no point in, quote, casting pearls before swine, unquote. Generally, I keep fasting for those who ask about it. And yet I was instructed to do that on that one, now that I remember. And I think I probably made the statement in there, and it's a statement I've made before. I don't know anybody that has a significant breakthrough. They have a partial breakthrough, and this is, I hesitate to say this, but I don't know how else to say it. I don't know personally anybody that has gotten to the point that they can consistently do things we think of as abnormal or the things that, Christians particularly tend to think of as unique to Jesus, or Buddhists unique to Buddha, I'm not trying to, limit it to any particular group, but for anybody to have a major breakthrough to the point of being able to get heavily into healing and have that confidence in them to know what God's will is by whatever other name, but for any particular situation, who hasn't gone through a period of fasting. I love to tell the story about my psychiatrist buddy. And I don't know if I tell that one in that article. I don't remember.
No.
Well,
you don't.
I'll quickly brush over because I know you know it. But he would forever. He would. When we first hooked up, he would have me speak to groups of his patients that he thought would be open to quote my approach to things. And when I'd say something about fasting, he'd say, well, you don't really think that's necessary, do you? And what was amazing to me is he finally admitted once that, well, the reason he couldn't fast was he had hypoglycemia. And, you know, several members in his family, in fact, a brother had died from diabetes. And, you know, hypoglycemia is, I don't know the medical stuff related to it, but it's somehow related to diabetes. And anyway, he said, I have diabetes, I have hypoglycemia, and I've been told if I fast, it could be death-threatening. I just looked at him. He was in front of a group of patients, and I said, that's a lie, but you go ahead and believe it if you want to. Yeah. Oh, but
which is what most people do, right? Is that's what they believe when it comes to fasting. They've got some sort of lie built in that prevents them from actually giving it a try.
Sure. Well, anyway, I looked at the rest of the group and said, I'm not telling you it's necessary. I'm telling you it was necessary for me to have the breakthrough. What I can do on your behalf is because I had a breakthrough into the spirit realm, and I got there through fasting. And I say that bridge, it was necessary for me. Okay, and so anyway, it wasn't too many moons later that he decided to go on a fast. And I told him, I said, look, don't do that until you ask. Make sure you get a green light to go. And so anyway, and he did. And about 2 days, 3 days in the fast, he was on a long road trip with his wife to Iowa to visit his daughter and son-in-law. And he's halfway across the country. We were living in the Portland, Oregon area at the time, and he calls me on his mobile phone. Now, that was back when they had those big old cases for mobile phones. I mean, it was like having a phone in a box. But anyway, he says, I'm telling you, I'm excited. And I said, what are you excited about? He said, all I've been doing is drinking water. My wife has thought I was nuts and fought me and reminded me what the doctor had told me. And this guy's an MD himself, you know. And anyway, that was his first breakthrough. He went for 4 days, and he went on later to, you know, go 10 and 14, and I think his longest fast was 22 or 23 days. And after that, from that first point, he would always, in a group setting, and he had founded this thing called Prayer Faith Workshops, and you know, we'd have healing sessions down at his resort that he had, and you know, 6-8 people show up. And up until that point, he would always wait on me. I was the guy who performed the healing, so to speak. And not that I've ever taken credit for healing. That's not my shtick, as you know. But anyway, here we've got this little old lady that's been brought to us, little old. She was probably 15 years younger than I am right now. But anyway, she could hardly breathe. She was rasping. She had lung cancer, had only been given a couple months to live. And her husband had brought her because a neighbor of theirs had been healed, you know, a few months before. And so they invited them to come down. They called me and asked if, you know, we could have a session, and they'd bring them. And anyway, it was a happening. And this old lady can't even sit up, and she's, you know, breathing like that. And, you know, and poor thing, she was weighed about 90 pounds. And like I said, she had lung cancer, and was told it was terminal, nothing more they could do. Already lost all her hair due to chemotherapy and all that. So anyway, we're into the last day. It was a weekend session. It was Sunday morning, and he looks at her, and he said, are you ready to be healed yet? Well, the doctor said, he said, oh, for heaven's sake. He said, I've got an MD after my name. You know that, right? She says, yeah. Well, I'm the doctor. And I say, you're healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Now get up and walk around. And she did. And it was a wild happening. And she all of her hair grew back, and not in gray, by the way, but in the original reddish color that she had, and you know, all the effects that she'd had from chemotherapy were gone and cancer were gone. She was healthy as heck. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, as they say. So
that's a short story.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just going to let you brush on.
So with that, I close. If you don't want to hear any more, it's all right with me. I feel like spirits had to say it, so I did.
So what I find is that the last few times that we've talked about fasting or you've done articles about fasting, we tend to have this weak attitude towards it and say, well, oh, you know, do it if you're so led and so on and so forth. And we say that a lot, but the reality is that for us, both of us, any of the experiences and breakthroughs that we've received the larger ones or the major transitional ones, we've received through fasting with the spiritual
question.
So to the audience, I've only really got one thing to say. What are you waiting for? If you want something different, if you're looking for a breakthrough, you can go through the years and years that will take or may take to achieve the breakthrough or change that you want, or you can fast. And I've always found it a shortcut to a new way of looking at things. It just works.
May I say one thing?
What?
And this won't be long. What it does, in my view, and I'm the only one that I know that says this, but nothing's new, so I'm sure others say it as well, but is the only way that you get to the point that you are no longer addicted to food or anything else. And once you overcome the thing that you think of you have to eat to live. No, you do not. There are people that go for months and months and months. I know personally a guy that went for 6 months at a time and without eating, and he'd be angry because he felt he could only go for 7 days without water. He felt he should be able to get water through breathing, you know, out of the atmosphere. But they're documented cases of guys, maybe women too, but people that go for years without eating. You don't need to eat. And once you get to that point, then the world no longer has a hold over you. And that's all I'm going to say about it, but I felt like I was supposed to add that. So,
Well, I want to add on to that. So what does it mean to have the world not having hold on you? What it really means is that now you're open to the solution, because all the holes that were holding you stuck in the mud are gone. And there's something about fasting that just breaks off all of those things instantly. I don't know how it works. I don't understand the science or the medical issues. I just know that if you're stuck on anything and you know you're stuck, this is the one way to get unstuck. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
And I still say, ask before you do.
Yeah, because doing it by yourself is somewhat uncomfortable.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call. Love you, buddy.
Hey, love you too, and thank you for your call. And old hat or no, I get to see it up soon, I take it.
I hope so.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Love you.
Love you too.